Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Tonight our thoughts will come from the book of 2 Peter, and I believe we are around verse number 16. We will be looking at verses 16 through verse 21 for our study of God's Word tonight. As you know, there are a lot of enthusiastic religionists of our world who give their testimony of how their lives have changed. Not by Christ, but rather by Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Islam, and so forth. If someone says that Hinduism or Islam has worked for them, that those religions have changed their life, and another says Christ works for me, are both of these statements equally true? How do we know that our faith in Christ is true and other religious systems are false? How do we know that biblical Christianity is the only way to get right with God? How do we know that biblical Christianity is the only way to have eternal life? Well, here in our study tonight of 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 21, we see that the Apostle Peter gives us two elements that give us a sure foundation for our faith. We see in verses 16 through 18 that our faith is based upon, number one, apostolic witness. And number two, from verses 19 through 21, the prophetic revelation of God's Word. Again, the foundation of our faith is based upon these two elements. Again, the apostolic witness to Jesus Christ and the prophetic revelation of God's Word. Together, these two strands tie an unbreakable knot. Let's look at verses 16 and 17 together as we begin our study tonight. Peter says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." In essence, Peter says what we've been teaching you about the power of God, about the coming of Christ, whether Peter is speaking about the incarnation of Christ or the second coming of Christ. And as you know, Peter has a lot to say about the second coming of Christ. What we've been teaching you hasn't come down the philosophical pipeline. This hasn't been something that we've learned in mythology class. We're not following some made up stories as we reveal these truths to you. Some embellished story. In fact, when you compare what Peter is saying in reference to these false teachers, as we will see in 2 Peter chapter 2, you remember these false teachers were making up false stories. They were telling these myths, these fairy tales, again, to capture people's attention. Now, Peter says we didn't do that. He says again in verse 16, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables as we have made known these truths to you. We are teaching you the truth. And notice what Peter does then at the end of verse number 16. The first evidence that he gives is we are eyewitnesses, listen to it, of His majesty. We haven't received second-hand information. We are eyewitnesses. And as you know, the apostles were eyewitnesses in the fullest sense. They were eyewitnesses of our Lord's life, of His death, of His resurrection. In fact, you can go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 21, when Judas was replaced. We see that in fact Peter is going to mention some of these things. In other words, there were certain qualifications for one to be an apostle. They had to be an eyewitness. And Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of the things that we are proclaiming to you. The things that we are teaching you. Again, they're not made up. They are based upon facts. And Peter is talking about those facts, which gives our faith, again, a sure foundation. And it's important to understand that foundation that our faith is based upon. But then as you look at verse number 17, we see that Peter is referring to a specific occasion. He says in verse number 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, verse number 17 is such a fascinating verse. And you know, Peter is talking about the Mount Transfiguration recorded in Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. You remember it was Peter on that occasion who said, "Lord, shall we build three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" And you can only imagine Peter hearing that voice from the excellent glory coming down from heaven. "Peter, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." But I want you to think about how this fits into what Peter is saying. And here's the point that we're making. Apostolic witness from this section of Scripture exclusively centers on the person of Jesus Christ as the glorious and majestic Son of God. That's what we conclude from verse number 17. And so when the apostles were speaking about Jesus, when they were speaking about the power of God and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, they weren't giving these Christians second-hand information. Again, they were giving them the facts. They were speaking the truth. Peter says, "We are eyewitnesses of all of these things." Now, what we can conclude from verse 16 and 17 is this. The apostolic witness of Jesus Christ affirms that our faith is not an intellectual theory based upon some myth. Our faith is an abiding reality based upon the deity of Jesus Christ. And really, the Mount Transfiguration and what Peter declares here in verse number 17 is an affirmation of the deity of Jesus Christ. Again, our faith in God is an abiding reality based upon those truths, based upon those facts, based upon the deity of Jesus Christ. You take away the deity of Jesus Christ, you take away the very foundation of Christianity. You and I tonight can put our faith in God based upon the apostolic witness, based upon the truths that the apostles revealed, those truths that were written down. You see, that brings us to the second point as we began to look at verse 19 through verse 21. Again, Peter is talking about these two elements. Again, our faith is based upon the apostolic witness to Jesus Christ, verses 16 and 17. But as we begin to look at verse number 19 and following, we see that it's also based upon the written Word of God. Listen to what Peter says. He says, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy." What makes their word a more sure word of prophecy? Peter's about to tell us. "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were being moved," or as they were being guided by the Holy Spirit. Again, our faith is based upon apostolic witness. It's also based upon the prophetic Word of God. And the Apostle Peter makes an amazing statement about Scripture, about the prophetic Word of God. When you look back to the Old Testament, or whether you look at the New Testament, we see individuals in the Old Testament spoke by inspiration. They were being guided by the Holy Spirit. God was giving them the words. In fact, when you read the book of Jeremiah, just read Jeremiah chapter 1, and God makes it clear to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, I will give you the very words to speak." It's important to understand that when we're reading Peter's epistle, we're not reading his ideas or his opinions. God didn't give Peter the thought and then allowed Peter to come up with the words. We see that God guided Peter and the rest of the apostles in the very words that they would speak. In fact, as you read John chapter 14, John chapter 16, Jesus made it clear that it was necessary for Him to depart. John 16, verse number 7. So that the Holy Spirit would come upon the apostles and guide them into all truth. John 16, verse number 13. We see on the day of Pentecost that the apostles received the Holy Spirit just like Jesus promised. Peter and the rest of the apostles were inspired men. You can think about it like this. The inspired Word was in the inspired man. But now the inspired Word is in this book we call the Bible. And that's what makes the Bible so important. And that's what makes the Bible so powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, we learn that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And understanding verse 20 and 21 should give us a deeper respect for prophecy, for prophetic prophecy. Really, it should give us a deeper respect for the entire Word of God, because it is all inspired. As Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, all Scripture is inspired. And here Peter is telling us how God revealed His will to mankind. I want to show you another passage in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And really, Paul is saying the same thing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to begin in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Now listen to what Paul says in verse number 12. "For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now let me give you another translation of this last part of verse number 13. Comparing spiritual things, spiritual truths with spiritual words. That makes every word of God important. And I hope we understand how important God's Word is and why we should respect God's Word. Our faith is based upon Scripture. It's based upon the revelation that we receive from God's Word. As we often quote Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But what Peter has to say here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, helps us understand why our faith is built up in the most holy faith. These verses help us understand that when we hear God's Word and follow God's Word, it increases our faith. Without the Word of God, there would be no faith. Again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If we want to increase our faith, if we want to be stronger in our faith, it's so important to allow God's Word to increase that faith, to build that faith. But Peter again wants us to recognize that our faith can have this sure foundation. And we need this sure foundation. That's what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. It has to do with the foundation. It has to do with apostolic witness. It has to do with the prophetic revelation of God's Word. There's not another religion in the world that can point to those two facts. And so we should be thankful that we can have faith in God. And we should be thankful that our faith in God is a abiding reality based upon the deity of Jesus Christ, based upon His authoritative Word. Because what we are looking at tonight is His authoritative Word, the words of Christ, Colossians 3, verse 16. Remember, it was Paul who said that in Colossians 3, verse 16, but it was the Holy Spirit guiding the apostle in that. And thus, when we look at the New Testament, we have the words of Christ. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles as they were speaking, and that which they spoke was written down. And that's how we got the Bible. And the Bible is such a wonderful book. The Bible teaches us so many things. I've often, as I've talked to people about the Bible to stir their interest in God's Word, I've always asked people, I want you to write down the word Bible in an acrostic fashion. And then write out these points by each letter. The Bible is number one, basic. Number two, instruction. Number three, before. Number four, leaving earth. Basic instruction before leaving earth. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I know we used to sing that when we were Cole's age, but you know, that's a good song to have in our mind. It's really foundational to our faith. Everything that we believe needs to be based upon the authoritative Word of God. But it's important to understand that process. And it's important to understand how we got Scripture. Peter wants us to know that no prophecy of Scripture, whether you look at Paul's writings, Peter's writings, whether you read the book of Jude, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God. They spake as they were being moved and guided by the Holy Spirit. And you and I tonight, we have that privilege of opening that Word and studying that Word and allowing that Word to build our faith. allowing that word to remind us of the sure foundation that we have as Christians. Listen, when we turn to the Word of God, the Word of God will teach us how to become a Christian, how to live as a Christian, and how to die as a Christian. Oh, death is a part of life, but I'm so thankful for the Word of God because it prepares me for that day. But what we can see tonight in our lesson is these two points. And these two points are powerful. These two points really lay out the foundation of Christianity. Again, our faith is based upon apostolic witness. And number two, it's based upon the prophetic Word of God. I hope this lesson tonight will encourage all of us to have a deeper appreciation for Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 2, God still looks down upon the one who trembles at His Word. The idea is one who respects God's Word. As the psalmist would declare in Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16, I will meditate upon thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways. The only way that you will ever respect what this Word says is by understanding that when we open the Word of God, really what we have is the mind of God. And God gives us insight into His mind, into what He thinks. He gives us insight into His ways. Remember, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And as we will be studying Wednesday night, Lord willing, from the book of Hosea, the last chapter, chapter 14, verse number 9, God says His ways are right. Remember that. There's a way that seems right, but then there's a way that is right. And Jehovah's ways, and we have His ways, and His ways are much higher than our ways. His ways are recorded in Scripture. And that's what makes His way much better than our way. And we need to learn to do things God's way. But in order to do things God's way, we have to have a respect for Scripture. I don't know if it's just me, but as I've talked to people in the last few years about God's Word, I see so many people just being guided by their feelings about what they think. And I've often asked my question, why is that? And I think it really goes back to what we're talking about tonight. They don't understand this solid foundation that we're talking about. Again, they don't understand Scripture and how Scripture was revealed to the apostles and to mankind. They don't understand that the Bible is inspired by God and that we're not just reading somebody's opinion or the apostles' interpretation. What we are looking at indeed is truth. We are looking at the truth of God's Word that can set us free. And you and I have the truth. And as Peter has already said in his first epistle, when we obey that truth, the Word of God will purify our soul. Let's be sure we're following what James reveals in James 1, verse 21. Let's be sure that we are receiving with meekness this inspired Word, the engrafted Word, which is able to save our soul. I hope all of us have a burning desire to want to study God's Word more and more. I hope we're like Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20 verse 9. We have the Word of God burning in our bones. I hope we're like the psalmist in Psalm 39 verses 6 through 8. I hope we have that burning desire to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord, to study His Word on a daily basis. I truly believe when we understand that we are looking at the Holy Word of God it will motivate us, it will stir us up more and more to study God's Word. And listen, when we do that, we build upon that foundation. We have a sure foundation, and that's what makes Christianity different. Set apart from every other religion. We have testimony. We have evidence that builds that foundation. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you in any way, strengthen your faith, pray for you to help you along the way, won't you please respond this evening as we stand and as we sing.